Blog Talk Radio.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say.
Yahweh Congregation, Baltimore, Maryland, under the tutelage of Rabbi Yaka'el Ben Gershom Ben Daniel, Mashiach Yahushua. Today's date is the 24th. Apologize, you can't hear me. Just got over some allergies and sinuses, but feel pretty good today. Yes, today's date is the 24th of Abib. 24th of this month of Abib that we're told to observe. 24th of the month of Abib. On Yahweh's calendar, on the Gregorian calendar, today is April the 15th. I'm filling in today for Kohen Ahabel at other duty to take care of today. So you have to hold on tight for another 7 days until for his next segment. He's coming though, he's coming back. I'm gonna open up with the priestly blessing, but before we open up with the priestly blessing, make sure you have your study tool. Can't say this more than enough, all the Kohens tell you that, but My main concern, if you don't have a pen or pad or pencil, just have your Bible. Have your Bible so you can follow along. And this is being archived, recorded, so then that you can take on your time to curate this word and go over it more and more throughout the week or throughout the day, whatever you choose to do. You can hear me? Okay, Deb. Told up. I can deal with that. Sounds good. Every now and then, I'm going to get a sip of water, though. Because like I said, I know I just got out the shower last morning. I'm going to clear my sinuses real, real good. And those of you that suffer from allergies, Yahweh going to be with you. You hit the help and set a little rain. A little rain to clear out the sinuses. Okay, I'm going to open up with with a quick prayer. Bow your head. Father, yeah, thank you for waking us up today, those who are allowed to be woken today. And in our right minds, Father, you're giving us another chance to enjoy your Shabbat blessed. Father, yeah, forgive us of our presumptuous senses, knowingly and unknowing, Father, yeah. That we decrease so you can increase, Father, yeah, and pour into us, Father, yeah, open up our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes, Father, yeah. Father, y'all guard our minds and our gates and our tongues, Father, y'all. So we shall speak the things that are only pleasing to you and that edify to our fellow mankind. Father, y'all continue to bless all of our spiritual leader, Rabbi Yakael, and all the Kohen and Beth Yahweh. Continue to strengthen the ones that feel, Brother Dan Welker. Can you keep strengthening him? The brother's walking better and better. He's walking without his assistance, his walking. The brother lost over 30 pounds yesterday. So y'all, we continue to strengthen that brother here. Continue to strengthen brother Shufu L, as he's been recovering from COVID. Brother getting stronger and stronger. Keep him going. But continue to strengthen sister Debbie, because she's still coming on stronger on the 20th red line and sending the words of wisdom and encouragement. Continue to keep her in her right mind. Father, y'all, continue to bless our Zakim. Good to see Zakim, both our Zakim together at the seventh day, the last day of keeping unleavened bread last Wednesday. Zakim Ward, Zakim Gary, continue to strengthen them. Give them the wisdom that they can share up to us in the congregation. Lord, y'all, continue to bless all our young adults. Keep them strengthened in this world. Continue to bless all our young teenagers. Continue to watch over the children in the congregation. Keep them in your head. And watch over our siblings and our parents, those who have parents. Continue to bless them and continue to give them another years of life. And watch over our children, our grandchildren. Watch over our neighbors and our co-workers. Because that's our nation that you put us amongst, Father Yahweh. When you say, go ye out and teach nations about you. So that's our nation that we walk amongst in our daily neighborhood, and our place of employment, and our family members. Always give us a word that we can speak to them. Father Yahweh, I praise you for allowing us to see Sister Arco Naomi. She walked in that seventh day feast of unleavened bread. Hallelujah. And we know that you still ask prayers and that we be faithful and hold on. Don't lose hope. Wait on Yahweh. Brother Dale Wilson, let Yahweh do what he do. Amen. Father, y'all strengthen our sister Danielle, and she laid friend to rest today. And encourage her to hold on. Encourage her to keep her trust in you and that you will comfort her. Father, y'all comfort the Brooks family and they family members the rest of the day. Strengthen them. And may their family, if they didn't follow in the footsteps of the young brother Jeffrey, may they accept the HaMashiach, Yahushua HaMashiach in his ways, his laws, commandments, and statutes that come out of her. Yes. So on that note, forgive me of anything I forgot to pray for. Yeah. Thank you in the name of your son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. I'm going to open up with the priestly blessing. The Sabbath morning blessing. Priestly blessing. Say, blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets, was pleased with their words that were uttered with the truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chose Torah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. As I stated in the beginning of the show, today is the 24th of Abib. If that might ring a bell, the 24th of Abib comes up came to my mindset. The 24th of Aviv was that that's the only time I can remember. Well, right now at our congregation, we're in the book of Revelations. We just completed chapters 10. Chapters 10 and chapter 11 last Shabbat. Yes. So what came to my mind when I seen that date came up, the 24th of Abib, that date was mentioned also in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, if I'm not mistaken. Let me turn that real quick. I know it was Daniel, because the reason why it came to my mind, that's the only time I can remember a date actually being quoted in the book of Daniel, those 12 chapters. I apologize if that's not right, but that's what came to my mindset this morning while I was in the shower. And the reason why I say that was significant to what came to my mindset, because in the book of Revelations, you will hear the revelation that John, the disciple of Yahshua, received on the island of Patmos that we went through on chapters 1 through 3 in the book of Revelations, the opening chapter. And those that revelation that he received by John being a disciple of the Most High, he received the words for the final days, the final stages, to show the triumph and the hope of a believer, what will happen before the kingdom usher in. Hallelujah. That we read about in the last two chapters of Revelation chapter 21 and 22. When the Messiah will come and the Father, we will be presented to him and we'll be all as one, as he said, I and the Father is one. And that new kingdom will come down to sin, that new Jerusalem right here on this earth, that this earth be purged from all the iniquities and sins. But the reason why I said that, 24th day of Abib in the first month, you'll see that in Daniel chapter, where my book at? Apologize. Daniel chapter 10, verse 4. It says in the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel. It was concerning a great war. That's verses 1. The understanding of the message came to Daniel in a vision. And see, at the time, Daniel also was fasting and asking God for revelation of vision that he seen prior to that. He prayed for 20, well, he fasted for 3 weeks, 21 days, he ate no food until the 3 weeks was over. But then on verse 4, it says on the 24th day of the first month, as he was at the bank of the great river of the Tigris, he looked up and there before him was a man dressed in linen with a belt of finest gold around the waist. His body was like crystal light, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished brass, and his voice was like the sound of a multitude. Daniel was the only one that saw that vision, though. So really, what I'm saying this is for, because in the book of Revelation, you have to use the book of Daniel, as Brother Darewell brought out so eloquently, chapters, what did Brother Darewell do, 7, 8, 9, that week when he had us go back to Daniel, chapter 7, that Daniel chapter 8, when he brought out, when he had a Torah portion of Revelation chapter 7, chapter 8 and chapter 9. He showed us how the comparison of these beasts. You have to use the book of Daniel to help you get an insight, and also the book of Ezekiel, so you will get an insight. Because Ezekiel talks about a latter day, a temple, a future temple, but it's a more of a spiritual temple, a future temple. And he also has visions. Ezekiel received visions because he was also a contemporary of Daniel. He was in captivity also when they went into 70 years of captivity for violating the Sabbath for Yahweh. Yahweh put, because long before Judah went into captivity, the 70 years, Israel, the northern tribes, already had won in the captivity. They've been gone. So the book of Ezekiel is very essential, as Brother Marielle had brought out when he did chapter 7. Yes, he did chapter 7 about about seal, because he went in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel talk about, gives you imagery of a man in a linen, like we just read in Daniel chapter 10. Verse 1-4, a man in linen, Ezekiel was mentioned. We know also, we first get introduced to a man in linen in Exodus. After Exodus chapter 25, when you go into further chapters, actually 30, 31, when Yahweh gives Moshe the instructions of how the priestly garments should be. They're consisted of linen. Excuse me. So me saying all that, it came to my mind, let me see that Daniel, we can see Daniel right there, how Yahweh allowed in the same month, this month of Abib that we're told in Deuteronomy 16, to God the month of Abib, this whole month, Yahweh gave Daniel a vision that's pertaining to the future, which is, you know, times, even the coming into the times that we are in now and the times before us. He gave it to him on the 24th day, gave him the vision of a man. Excuse me. And also in that vision that he gave Daniel, how that man was in linen, he looked like brash and tarnished. We've seen that also in the book of what? Revelations, chapter 1, verse 14 to 16, if I'm not mistaken. Let me look at that real quick. I taught that a couple of weeks ago, so that's why I said I wasn't sure, but it came to my mind. Yes, chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. So what I'm saying, using this to help anybody out there, especially our listening audience at Beth Yahweh, or anyone's in the listening audience that's been following Beth Yahweh on the Torah portions in the afternoon and start at 2:30. That this will be helpful for you if you feel kind of confused or not getting a full understanding. It'll be helpful because you can see the same thing Daniel went through when he was receiving those visions. When a lot of things he didn't understand right away, and we went through last Sabbath. What was that? Daniel chapter. I mean, Revelation chapter 10. Was it chapter 10? Yeah, it was told an angel came. And had a cloud and a rainbow. We know a cloud and a rainbow, they witnesses of the Most High. They witnesses to Israel. Because Israel, remember, they had a cloud that led them by day and a fire by pillar by night. And Israel know a rainbow indicates that a rainbow at the end, when it finished raining, that Yahweh, there was a covenant, a sign that Yahweh, that he declared that he had never destroyed mankind again with water, with the flood. Like when I say a flood, I know people may be listening. Like it's been floods now, and people have been perishing. I'm talking about a catastrophe, a worldwide, where the whole world was destroyed by the deluge, by the flood. Back in Genesis chapter 6, you read about. So whenever you see a rainbow, people may not have been aware of that, but on the line, but now you're aware of that. So those things are witnesses and clouds for people of following the Most High in His ways. So you don't have to feel like you are confused or like, and the reason why I said Daniel helps Revelations to get more clarity, along with prayer and waiting on Yahweh, of course, and also Ezekiel, and not just him, other prophets, Joel, Prophet Joel mentions, he has says something prophetic. So each Isaiah, forgive me for not finding that because I didn't know I would go this route, but each prophet, Yahweh put the decryption, as you want to say, or encryption, decryption. He gives the answers through his prophets. So that's why it's important that you follow the ways of Yah, because see what's happening to the world. They're listening to all these biblical scholars, and they're giving their take and spin on what the Book of Revelation means, what the Book of Revelation says. And no, I come to find out while we've been doing, getting prepared. Well, how I prepared myself for the Book of Revelation. Start reading Daniel. Start reading Ezekiel. I haven't finished Ezekiel again, but we went through Ezekiel a year ago. You know, 2 years. Let me take that back. 6 years ago at Beth Yahweh, because we didn't went through the whole Torah, the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. And that's what, like I said, we last chapter we left off, chapter 11. So it behooves you, if you want to know more about the Book of Revelation, don't get too caught up, as I shared with the congregation last week, don't get too caught up with the size of the locust and the description of the locust. Just know that the locust, Yahweh used them against to as an army to fight for his army of Israel when they was coming out of Egypt against the mighty nation of Egypt, the Pharaoh. He used the locusts to come and devour everything in Egypt, except he didn't use them to devour all substance, but he left them a little something. But that's just to show when you go into Revelation, then you know that those, when you see the locusts, don't worry about the size of the locusts, worry about the effects that the locust did to Egypt. So now you can just fast forward. This is last day prophecy. So now you can see, hey, those locusts is going to be doing that in the 10 power. So it is maybe the same size locust. What I'm saying is, though, but the devastation and the destruction that those locusts are going to do is going to seem like they may be that large. Who am I to say, are they that large? I don't know, but I'm just saying, we just know what locusts done from the count that Yahweh gave in Exodus. And the description that we're getting from, like, in this book of Daniel, how he said that man was clothed, we can see those things. We also see a description of Daniel said he saw the vision, but the others with him, they didn't see the vision. But they were scared. They ran off. They didn't see it. Verse 7, it said, Daniel chapter 10, verse 7, it said, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. Remember, he was at the river of, the one translation said, if I'm not mistaken, the one translation said the Tigris River. Then I have another translation says, I got a couple of bottles, but I'm leaving a couple of bottles out on my tea. Then I have another translation. Yes, says the Hadakah, the other great river. Because remember, there was three great rivers mentioned in the scriptures in the beginning. What was it, Euphrates, Tigris, and Hadakah, right? Was it three or four? But what I'm using this is the setup is everything in the book of Revelation, Yahweh didn't leave nothing for our own, for us to try to figure out. That's why he say, trust in me like a little child, like when Yahshua was on the phone. When they went to suffer and push the children away, he said, no, don't shoot the children away. He was blessed. He said, you all, even himself, have to be like these children. And what he meant, like, not childish, child, like immature, but being childlike when it comes to receiving the word of the Most High. If receive it with trust and assurance that your father, that I was your father, that he gave you this. He got the best interest for you. That's why Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 3 to 5 says, trust in Yahweh with your whole heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So we had to be childlike when we read these things. And so as for me, I'm going to take the prophets and every vision and the word of Yah that he gave through his prophets were to help me get understanding and clarity in the book of Revelation. I'm not going with the biblical scholar. Now, let me rephrase that. I will go with a scholar or whatever if he's teaching, thus say Yahweh. Yeah, because Yahshua told his disciples at that time. Remember, he said, should we call fire down on him? You see what they're doing? He said, no, they for us. They for us, yeah, but keep them blessed. No, don't call fire down on them. Yeah, so if they, yes. If a minister out here that I know, they go on Sunday, they don't worship the Sabbath, they don't honor his feast day, but if he come out of his mouth and say something that's written in this Torah, as the instruction in Isaiah 8:20, he has light in him on that particular subject. Now, everything else, though, that's not saying like, oh, yeah, I can go back to church on Sunday. I might find a good wife. There'd be a lot of nice women going to church on Sunday. No, that's not saying that. But on that topic, he has light in him because why? It's true. Yahweh's word is true. And that's why Paul tells us in what? 1 Corinthians 11, 2 Corinthians 11. Be not marveled. Be not overtaken that even Satan has ministers that come in like light. Now, they can come in light and have some good jewels, drop some jewels, because why would they drop it? They drop in the truth of the Most High. But all of their truths are not, they're not following and abiding in everything the Most High. That's why he said Jeremiah 3, was that 15, 17? Sheep are shepherds after my heart, my mindset, after my teaching. Like Isaiah says, the word, the law, and the testimony, they had to teach after that. That's proof that's light in them. So, yes, sometimes you can look at, I'm not saying don't look at, sometimes you can hear something on the radio or whatever, and you can hear something and go, You can go fact check it. Like, I always miss something, what it really said. Might be saying something wrong. Always say Acts chapter 7. Well, I shouldn't never forget Acts chapter 17 because I went to a church and all that. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. So starting at verse 10, it says, as soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to a Jewish synagogue. Verse 11, that's it. Now, the Bereans were of a more notable character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness. This is how we all should be as children of the Most High, and examine the scriptures. That's the one I want every day. Not just come home like people do when I was, I'm not going to just outlead them. I'm just going to some people that's supposed to be Hebrew do the same thing. They look at their scriptures on Saturday, on the Shabbat, and after that they close the Bible and put it on the side. That's what you choose to do. That's on you. That's your boat. You row it. But as Christians, when I was a good Christian in Sunday church, people only break that Bible out on Sunday. They come on, put it down there. But Paul tells you right there, Acts chapter 17, verse 10 through 11, he said, as the Bereans, he said, with great eagerness, they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So that's what we have to do. Because we have to receive his word, like he said, be like a child, like Yahshua told him. We have to receive his word. Like a child, be real eager when you tell him, like, your birthday, when you get that A on your report, you get them A's. As my father say, one A. I ain't impressed what happened to why these other four grades is B pluses. Then, you know, your mother come in and go, well, he tries. He ain't try hard enough. My money, you give it to him. But anyway, it was a little deal. He told me $5. I think he broke down and gave me $3 or $2. That's just how it pops. But I love him for that. He made me becoming the man that I'm becoming because of my father. But getting back to what I'm saying, as childlike. what else do we know from Hebrews? Yahweh chastised those whom he loved. So it behooves anybody that want to know this Torah, I mean this Bible, the ways of the Most High, go like 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved like God. That sounds like the Bereans with eagerness. Be like a workman, not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hear a little, like Isaiah, what, 26, 27, 6 and 8. Precept upon precept. Go hear a little there. A little. Like, what happened? Book of Revelation. How we find out about the book of Revelation? The correct way. The way Yahweh set it up. Go to Daniel. Daniel had visions. We read along what the revelation that Yahshua gave to the angel. Angel gave John on the Isle of Patmos. We follow and see, that sounds familiar. But you won't know that sounds familiar if you don't have eaten this and was reading your Torah and your word and studying and praying to the Father for guidance. So if you know, they say, that description of that person sounds familiar. And then somebody might say, well, what Dale Wells was teaching, somebody might say, that's a different kind of peace, though, what Daniel was saying. I mean, what John was saying compared to what Daniel said. Remember what we learned. It's four gospels. Each one of those gospel accounts tell the truth, but they wasn't written exactly the same because while Matthew was his own individual, and he perceived it, but he still wrote the truth. It still was in line. John, leave him off somebody. Mark. Mark was more so on a hearing versus actually being with the Messiah like Matthew, John. So he wrote his accounts from Matthew, John, but they still in line. And just like the other prophets, Daniel's still telling us things about the Most High. His writings may be a little different than Jeremiah's call, his ministry, but they're still standing on the same transmission. They're still building on this one word, this law and the testimony, as Isaiah tells us. So that's how we stay in line and focus. So just like Daniel said, what did it say? Daniel chapter, Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Yeah, Daniel chapter 10, verse 4. What it said, I think it was verse 7, verse 8. Daniel said he saw, he was the only one to see the vision. That sounds familiar, don't it? Hold up, I just heard a message. So. Matter of fact, I ain't put my phone on vibrate. I mean, not vibrate, do not stir. This would be the time. Nobody calls me, but they call me now. All right. Where am I? Daniel chapter 7. Daniel said he was the only one that saw it. Don't that sound familiar? This is what I'm trying. We're going to go to Acts. I think it's Acts chapter 9. That sounds familiar. But see, the reason why it sounds familiar to me, because I remember reading Acts, studying Acts. Acts chapter 9, that sounds kind of familiar. It said, and Saul. Yeah, that's King James language. Let me help somebody out. But Saul, still breathing threats and slaughter against the disciples of Yahweh, went to a high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, that he found anyone who were of the way. Isn't it interesting how they say the way? Instead of, what way? Christianity? Nah. I like that verse. That always stuck out on me. Of this way. Which way? That way of the teachings of the prophets of old leading up and Yahushua. He didn't come and do a new thing like he started a whole new denomination. No, he said, I only teach and speak of the things that the Father tell me. Why? Because he was being like childlike. He was being obedient son and went and did what his Father said, only the things that his Father said. So of this way, as it say in Acts 2, I like that. So who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring in a bond. Because that's when Paul was on his, he didn't get the fully understanding. He knew Torah, but he didn't get the spirit of the Torah yet. He didn't get the full spirit of the Messiah poured in him to let him know. You know some Torah. You know the law, Moses and all that. That's true, but you're not understanding what this it never was a new thing, but this, I'm going to bring some clarity to what I'm doing. I'm also going to allow Gentiles to come in. It's not just for the Jews. We all know that was Paul's mission, wasn't it? Was it Paul's or Peter? Yeah, Paul's mission was for the Gentiles. Peter's was for the Jews, remember? So as he traveled, he got close to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone from the sky. around him, and he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He said, who are you, master? The master said, I am Yahushua, whom you are persecuting. But rise up and enter into the city, then you will be told what you must do. Verse 7, the men who traveled, that's the verse I want, because Daniel chapter 10, verse 7, right? Daniel chapter 10, verse 7 said the men that he was with didn't see, did I say that? They didn't see the vision. Acts chapter 9, verse 7 said the men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the sound, but seeing no one. So what I'm trying to just do and let people see how this word right here, the Most High, this his word. You ain't got to add to it like he tells us in Deuteronomy and in the book of Revelation, and you ain't got to take away from it. But what you need to do, it behooves you to do, as Paul said, I beseech you, you need to take heed of it, and you need to grab it like that angel said. I don't know who taught Revelation 10. Yes, I apologize. I know the dude's name. Shabbat taught Revelation 10. Yahweh gave Shabbat an understanding last week, Revelation 10. It was a book. Where are we going with that one? It was a book. What I'm going at with this, it ain't gonna take long, friend. You're almost out of here. It was a book. Revelation chapter 10, it said an angel had a little scroll. That was the angel that he was rolled with a cloud. He was rolled in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun and his legs was like fire. That's what Revelation said. And he was holding a little scroll, verse 2, which lay open in his hand. And he planted his foot on the sea, and that you read Revelation 10. Go, very good. But that's that was the same thing. That angel had a scroll that was open, a little book that was open. Daniel was told in what? Daniel chapter 12, that closed the book. So in second, this is from end times. So now we know that the book of Revelation is talking to end times. So now that angel now, Yahshua, gave the angel to tell the John at the Isle of Patmos, he said, write this down. So now anybody that ever read Daniel, and they said, man, I want to know what the last chapter of Daniel said. Man, Daniel had some business in 7, 8. Man, then the book got closed. He never even got the thing because it was for the end times. He did his part. It's like passing a baton, like in track and field if you ever play sport. Excuse me, or wrestling was popular. They had tag team wrestling, like get beat down, you're tired, you gotta go to the bathroom, whatever. You reach up your hand, and if the opponent don't allow you to stop and get tested, the partner can test you and jump in the ring. He take over, you roll out. That's all what Yahweh do with his word, with his prophets. Each prophet keep building. They keep passing the baton. I remember use that baton, but then a tag team. But it's the tag team, too. It don't matter. And he passed it on. So that angel had the book and it was open. And as you see how that angel was described in Revelation chapter 10, verse 3, he said he gave a loud shout like a roar of a lion, shouted the voice of seven thunders. That's kind of like how Daniel was saying in Daniel chapter 10. So we see these similarities. Then the angel, John went up to the angel in Revelation Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound a trumpet, the mystery of Yahweh will be accomplished. This as he announced in his service to prophets. So what that got to do, Shabbat? This is how my mind works. Deuteronomy 29:29, when you go there, it said, the secret. Matter of fact, I'm going to go there for you. It's level 45. Come on. Move on. Yeah, no, wow. I'm going to read it in your head in the right way. So I'm messing up. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this. Deuteronomy 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret thing belongs to Yahweh, Almighty One. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So Revelation chapter 10, verse 8-7 says, the mystery of Yahweh will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets, Deuteronomy 29:29. And to go with that, it's another one that I always mess up. They correct me. Amos chapter 3, I always say something else. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, I'm going to start at verse 3. Give me all the Bible. We'll keep it right there. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, Amos is a prophet of Yahweh. When people may consider him a minor prophet, a small, you know, he didn't write books on his God. Amos got what, about 9 books? So, and people may, and then guess he considered a minor prophet because he had come off when he opened his prophecy and said, hey, look, I'm not a prophet. I'm not a son of a prophet. Saying his father wasn't a prophet, he wasn't, and he's not a prophet. But little to that, you know, now that you're speaking, thus say the Lord, you just became a prophet, the first one of your family, Daniel. Hallelujah. But Daniel 3:3 says this. Daniel 3:1, we're going to start that. Daniel 3:1, it says, hear this, the word of Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Verse 3, can two walk together except they agree? And you know how I go. When a lion roars in the forest, when he have no prey, will a young lion cry out his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is? For him, gin is from him, not gin. Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord have, Yahweh has not done it? Verse 7, here it is. Surely Yahweh, Almighty One, will do nothing but he revealed his secrets until his servant. The lion has roared, who will not fear? So as we see right now, we hear these things like these thunders, these seven thunders. We noticed in Revelation, he mentioned a roaring of a lion. You see how these things come in? We get a little bit from Amos right there. Amos said that. Joel said something too. We're going to see what Joel said. I'm just doing this, family, just to give anybody, whoever listening, whatever, just a little insurance and confidence in Yahweh's word, to trust in his word. Like Proverbs 3 says, trust in his word and he shall direct your all your paths. Even you think if he's going to lead you from Genesis, he ain't going to lead you to, and he up in the Revelation, you think he's going to give you something? Reason why the analogies and stuff, people get caught in like, oh, those locusts was big as I don't know, big. Because you got Hollywood out here messing with people with Jurassic Park. Remember Jurassic Park? And the movie or something, yeah, the movie came out some years ago with dinosaurs and Jurassic Park and all these things. So now that can take your mind off of when you read the book of Revelation. Oh, it's just sort of, you know, that's the part you read the kids to keep the kids fascinated, make them behave. Come on, locusts that big. Like I said, let's not get caught in how big they are. Let's get caught in the devastation they're going to do. Why? Just like Amos just said, in the last day, this is destruction, baby. That was what, the second woe in Revelation chapter 10 and 11? That's the we just read it. Revelation chapter 10, verse 6 and 7. That's the second woe coming. There's only three woes. And then that was what, the seventh trump just got blessed. Did the seventh trump just get blessed in Revelation 10? Yes. But no, it said, but in the days, yes. That seven trumps get ready to get blasted. So he get ready this thing, the climax, is the seven Trump get blasted, excuse me. Shavuel told that last week in the chapter 11, when the two witnesses step on the scene, that seven Trump get blasted around chapter 11, verse 15. See, so that's the climax. See, we know about trumpets. Oh, but getting back, so don't lose that thought. We talking about the secret thing, Amos 3:3. How did Yahweh say how he destroyed Egypt? Just remember, Egypt was a superpower in Amos 3. Let me say, punishment. So that punishment that he did to Egypt, now you got to magnify that to another level. What? The whole world. Because, wow, this world really quiet as a cat. This is Egypt for some people and Rome, right? When you go fast forward to the modern day New Testament, because while Rome was the oppressors to the Israelites, right? You read that in the book of what, Rome, Acts. You see what I'm saying? So nothing has changed. And you say, how can you say that, Brother Shavuel? Because why? The systems that they're abiding under, they're not abiding under the ways of the Most High, like I said, this Torah, these things. So that's why Satan had children in John chapter 8:44. And Yahweh had children. The litmus test, thanks, Sister Donald, I always jack that up. I thought it said limitedness. The litmus test of that. What did Joshua always say? By their fruits, you will know who they are. It's something we learned from our rabbi, our first rabbi, Rabbi Mendoza, that you heard or something, under the tutelage of Yaakov. Rabbi Benda, I'm one of the tutelage of both of them rabbis that Yahweh called. But something we learned from him, like he said, I never met him personally, but I met him on a DVD. So I got to meet that spirit of his. But I love it when he say, the proof ain't on me. The proof, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm being as he said, I'm going to be a spectacle to this world, a priest of, a holy nation of priests. I'm one of them. I'm part of the building of the assembly of the Most High. I'm one of the stones, one of the bricks that's building this and off of the chief cornerstone, Yahushua. And what I mean by that is I'm living and walking in the way that he instructed me to do. So I'm a witness to the world. But the proof is not on me. The proof is on you. Well, I can prove, like I said, by going through the scriptures like the Bereans did in Acts chapter 17, verse 10 through 11. Or what was 1 Peter chapter 3, 15, 14, and 17, as Rabbi say, that hope, that when somebody asks you, what's this hope? And it was, Rabbi, on lifestyle. That 1 Peter chapter 3, 14, and 16, what's this hope? Oh, the hope I got? This the hope that I got. And that 1 Thessalonians, because that's why he tells us these things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I despise not prophecy and prove all things, not some, most, and hold a stain from evil. Remove yourself from evil and hold fast, hold on tight with your dear life to the good. Because why? The law and the testimony, that's going to prove there's light in it. And that's going to get you your salvation, your deliverance from this destruction and revelation that Paul received from the angel that Yahshua told John on the Isle of Patmos. Write this for my people. That's the climax. This is the pinnacle. It's not over yet, but just hold on. Be of good cheer. John 16:33 tell us, be of good cheer. Yeah, the world will give you tribulation, but hold on, because I have overcome. We just got to hold on. Yeah, it get hard. It beat us up. We just got to just hold on. So we learn from those things. So when we hear these lions, that roar of a lion, trumpets, the colors, the description of this angel, that John says, all these things, we heard of these before. So what you mean? Another example real quick. Yeah, come on. What time is it? Almost 12 o'clock. I think I got to finish at 12. Calm down. Let me give you something, though. I'm sorry, I apologize, family. When I teach, I don't like to just go, man, that's it, bad. I like to kind of lead you there, lead you through it. I guess I'm saying it right. And then lead you to continue on to something. I had two aunts that were educators, because they told me it's a difference from my educator and a teacher. And in my time I know it's hard to believe for some of you. Yes, I had some formal education once upon a time, and I can't blame them. Straight away when I got older, because, you know, you become a teenager, you start smelling yourself, getting involved in other things. But I had some good primary educators, elementary teachers from kindergarten to fifth grade, I want to say. I could say all the way up to seventh grade. Eighth grade, it was me when I start becoming a teenager, smelling myself, and you know, like seeing what, you know, what's going on. But I can give them from kindergarten all the way up to eighth grade before I went to high school, when I was in my right mind and being an obedient child. I had good educators, and they taught me things. And that's very good. It's very good. But remember I said something, we said how Amos did something? Who was it? Somebody else said, oh, there well, said it sound good. So Amos said something. Remember I said Joel? I was studying Joel like about 2 weeks ago. Joel, like I said, each it behooves you to study each, go line upon line, precept for precept, like Isaiah said. Because that's how you're going to get more clarity and understanding of the book of Revelation. Because why? It's Yahweh's word. It's his mind. It's from his mind. And it's his thing for his people and his servants, his friends, as the brother. I fell asleep on it, brother. I finished it up. I had about 20 minutes ago. This week, allergies killed me. But as his friend, let me say, I no longer call you servants, because a servant don't know. You know the illustration Yahshua gave us. Like, you come in the house, sit down, and the servant come up to you ready to serve. What is it? Give me this. Give me that. Yeah, yeah. Like, man, servant can't say, hey, man, yeah, I hear you, but, you know, I'm going to take this walk and handle this. And when I come back, you know, the food is right there on the counter. Because I knew you was coming, you go ahead and handle that. No, servant, don't do that. Now, I mean, if you had a servant like the Jeffersons did, yeah, you know, Florence, she did that. Get it yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, Benson, Jeffrey, yeah, but, you know, but real life, you know, not too many servants got that luxury. Or those servants become friends of that household where they had some leniency. Like, I got to go, you take off, I'll handle that. So that's why he says you no longer servants, you friends. And why? A friend knows what you're going to do. That's why he came and told Abraham, and what's that, Genesis chapter 19? He said, should I hold back from my friend? I only know the brother brought that up last night. I fell asleep. Do you know he was mentioning Abraham? He started off. That was his opening introduction. I can't wait to finish this class over so I can finish my brother class. Last night, if you didn't hear it, join me. He came on last Saturday evening at 8 o'clock, and his title was Friend. And I said, I'm going to listen to that when I eat my breakfast. But getting back to, like, we're servants. That's why he said in Amos chapter 3:7, should I hope only my servants know? Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret thing. Be like a child, receive those things. So so is Revelation hard? Yeah, it's hard to those who don't want to be a childlike and receive and take this word, as we learned from our rabbi, the pillars of understanding the Torah. What's the first one? You have to believe that it is the inspired word of the Most High. And there's other pillars I can't think of. I'm off the top of my hand. I apologize. And there's pillars of study in the Torah. Take it comparatively, frequently, you know what I'm saying? And that's what all the book of Revelation, that'll help you understand how to do this. If you follow those pillars, those ways of study. That's what I knew I was teaching this. I had that. I apologize, man. That sounds not even right. But that's how the book of Revelation will help you. But I want to show you the one that I came across with Joel. Joel said something. I mean, they all said something. Just bear with me 1 minute, fam. When the Passover start? The Passover started April 6th. What are my notes? I'm a dinosaur. I'm a dinosaur. Now, I mean, I'm a dinosaur. I should have stuff on my phone instead of on these papers all the time. That's what I mean, I'm a dinosaur. I'm catching up, though. Okay, hold on. Let me see. Let's see. Bear with me, fam. Give me one. It's 12:01. I think I'm good at 12. That's we just gonna keep it like I ain't got no time. I prefer it this way. I'm gonna see some. Take me back to my sport days when it wasn't no 3-point shot coming up in 1975 in a championship. Before nobody knew Michael Jordan, Brian Boone was Michael Jordan on our team, the Nuggets, Lock River Nuggets, 1975. And he fouled out with a minute and something left because they doubled him. They feel as though the Nuggets ain't no good without Brian. Yep, because Brian shot every ball he had all through the whole season, all the way up to that championship game. Fouled out. Give me one more minute. I got something. One more. Let me check one more. I'm trying to find you because I just gave you what Amos said. I'm trying to find you what Joel said. Like, I want to support what I said. What I'm just doing, family, in case you want to, I want to try to show you, like, through these scriptures, I want to get your confidence up, and anybody on this listening audience, that Book of Revelations is interpreted all through the, I showed it with my brothers before we started the Book of Revelation. We had a priest meeting back in, We had a priest meeting back in, I think it was February month, and I told myself, well, I'm starting to see Yahweh sharing with me that these things is right there. We just can't get caught up into the other things like how the world and stuff do. Because that's where that'll throw you off, because you'll get caught up and you'll lose the essence or the substance, the main thing that he wants you to focus on. You remember, like locusts, not the size, the clouds, that where he used the cloud when he used the rainbow. I cannot believe, man. It was Joel, I want to say chapter 2. Ah, man, I hate going off the top of my head like that. It was Joel chapter 2. Joel said something, and I said, ooh, it was fitting for what day, because, you know, I'm a timekeeper. I'm one of the timekeepers at Beth Yahweh. And so days always stick in my head. And so when I see the days, I say, hey, that kind of reminds me of something. And I hate to quit, too. But as I was saying about I don't believe that, man. Did I erase the Joker? What do you say? Then it don't help either, because we got about 16 different lines. So I might anyway forget it. That's discouraging too. But anyway, Joel mentioned something too that would help. I get out of this thing. I ain't letting you distract me because of that. Okay, well, just don't have that one. Joel mentioned about how we can, he mentioned something in one of his teachings. And if you hear it, it's coming out of Revelation. It's coming right out of Revelation. I'm going to hold my finger on that one. But I'm going to finish the story. Brian Bull fouled out, and his father and big brother let him cry out, and they left. So my big brother got kind of mad. My father was like, no, calm down. That's just how my big brother did. Like, can't leave they little boys. They eight, nine. And so, man. So my father stopped my big brother. Said, no, you stay. Don't worry about it. Then they had nobody to go to. Nobody knew. Nobody could play because he was Michael Jordan back then. He was a Hawk. He was a baby Michael and baby Kobe. We were losing by 8 or 9 with a minute and 10 left when he fouled out and stormed out the gym. And back then, it wasn't no 3-point play line. And we came back. I'm not going to tell you who came back. It was the MVP. You probably know the brother. You know him. You go to Beth Yahweh. The brother came back with no 3-point play line, and we beat by 3. So certain things in your life, that's why you got to face them. You can't walk away from them. Even when it looks like it's all over, it's not over like they say to that fat lady. Well, I can't say fat lady now due to Me Too. I might get Beth Yahweh in trouble. When the person finished singing, when the band is over, it's over. I just say that little note to keep you encouraged. So as believers, we had this tour of this Most High, getting back to Revelation 10. Man, I'm mad I can't find that thing. But anyway, amen. Fine. It's in Amos. Matter of fact, I'm going to go to Amos. Give you one more shot. Not Amos, but I say Joel. Joel is another one considered a minor prophet. I mean, because he got, 3 books? But I don't think this is minor. Ah, Joel 1. Well, you can see it all. It says, tell your children and let your children and their children and their children another generation. Don't that sound familiar, like the Exodus or the Torah? I mean, what we call it, Exodus chapter 20? When he says generation of the third and fourth generation that love Me, Joel chapter 1, verse 3, see that? He said, verse 4, he said, which the palm worm have left, had the locust eaten, which the locust had left, the canker worm eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep and howl, all you drunkards of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut out from your mouth. Don't say Revelation, when we get up in these future chapters, we'll talk about a lady or sitting on a beast. The mother of harlots, the mother of whores, in her hand, she has her cup, right? She got all the nations, all the people drunk. But see, we're separate, called apart people when you worship the Most High and follow His Torah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So it just went that way. So that's part of, that's Revelation. Would help you understand, so when you can read a little bit of a little bit of Joel. Then Joel chapter 2 say, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in My holy mountain. We see in Revelation chapter 11, that 7 trumpets. We started when the trumpets was being blown in the other chapters of Revelation. So each time we can see these things that Yahweh gave us. First time we realize and we hear about a trumpet is at what? Numbers chapter 10. You blow the trumpet at different occasions. When you want the whole assembly to come, when you just want the elders of the assembly, see what I'm saying? When it's time to move and move out. So all these things we see in the scriptures, in Revelation, people think, oh, Revelation is so hard. I remember when I first came back to Baltimore from getting out of the Army in 2003, I joined a church right up the street from where I used to live on Dolphin Street. And I walked in there, and it was in the book of Revelation. And the head pastor said, I ain't going to call his name. And you say, well, you might as well. You just said Dolphin Street. Nah, you know about Dolphin Street. It's churches on every. I walked around one day and lost count. Walking around for 5 minutes around a couple blocks. You got about several churches. So, but I'll never forget the head pastor said, I hate the book of Revelations because it has all this crazy imagery and all that. So an elder had to teach it. He allowed the elder because he allowed him to teach it. Now that I look back, I laugh. We might have did better just reading it. Like Rabbi taught us. He taught us a long time ago when we first became priests. When Rabbi, was given up by Yahweh, like, hey, start now allowing them to teach. You got too much on you. Like how Jethro, Raul told Moshe when Moshe and them was coming out, he said, oh, you can't sit there and listen to all this, man, you'll go crazy. You handle the mightier, weightier things, and you get some noble people that and put them over other matters. And yeah, Rabbi allowed us to teach, and I think one of the brothers one time said, man, Yahweh ain't give me nothing. And I was feeling the same way, whether that brother know. I just didn't say it that one particular time, but he said it that time. I guess Rabbi got tired of him. I guess Yahweh knew. See, Yahweh know what you say. He know every man's heart and intentions or whatever. From that day on, I never say, he ain't giving me nothing. I might say, I'm not hearing from him like I feel as though I need to hear from him. But He always gives us something. The rabbi told us, he said, you don't never stand up and tell him you never got nothing. If you feel that way, just read it. Because you got something, because you got the word of God in your hand. I said, good, I need that. I need that. Because I know where that brother coming from. And I needed that. And he's right. Because once you start reading, stuff will come up. Because that's Yahweh's word. Ain't no magic. But if you don't open it up and read it, ain't nothing going to come. So we know about trumpets and numbers. We know about clouds from numbers. Well, I remember they first start moving because of the cloud. Remember they said, when that cloud move, that's when the whole congregation of Israel move. That cloud don't move, you stand for it. So when we see these images, these things in Revelation, we got to go, as a good Bible student, we got to go deeper and go, what are you trying to say? Let's go back to here, where he first used it. Because why? That was an exodus from Egypt, from the world, right? To take them to a promised land. Right over the Jordan to the land that he promised most Abraham. So the same way here, right here, this book of Revelation that he gave the angel, Yahshua gave the angel to get a John and say, tell my people and children, we supposed to go in these books now and start researching, and go, and we put them together. And then we wait for Yahweh. And we go to his appointed feast days that he called. And then we show up to every one of his Shabbats he called, his weekly Sabbaths. And then why he keep giving us more and more instructions and light more and more to each one of his Kohen, our rabbis. And that's how we build and we get more and more clarity and understanding. And guess what? It won't come to you as a thief in the night like Thessalonians talk about. They're children. They're not children of the light. He can't hold no withhold no secrets to you. He brought you this far, go sign up, boy. I don't even know how. I just wrote Revelations to mess with you. You on your own. No. No. Calm down. But Joel chapter 2 say, verse 2, a day of darkness and a gloominess, a day of clouds, a day of thick darknesses, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong, there have not been ever light, neither shall any more after, even to the years of many generations. A far devour before them. Then we, when we told by Peter, then we told that that's how this world gonna be cleansed this time. Cause we got the rainbow, to show that he's never gonna destroy. That's the covenant in Genesis chapter 9:11. He's never gonna destroy the world. It's all man, humanity, and the animals, his creation by water again. But I said, Yahweh, what's one that we got for the future, for this fire? So I got to stay tuned and keep posted. One of my brothers will get it. My rabbi will get it. Well, I'll get it. Then we got people in the congregation that see visions. Sister Bethia, she dreams. Brother Ivy. So they, y'all keep saying y'all visions. Don't hold them to yourself. I'm not a good interpreter. I don't have that skill yet. Who knows? It ain't over yet. But there's some brothers that do. So you keep saying them because you might share that dream and then I work, my mind, crazy little mind work different. I might hear a dream and remember scripture or something I was studying or a lesson that I was trying to put together. Oh, hold up. So you keep bringing them things. Because then Joel say, at a time, there's your old men to see visions. No, well, I don't mess it up. We'll come to this. Verse 5, like the noise of a chariot, Joel chapter 2. It's in here because there's only three verses in here. Verse 10, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shine. And that sound kind of like Revelations to me there, right? Verse 11, Joel 2:11, and Yahweh shall utter his voice before his army, for his cap is very great, for he is strong and executed his word, for the day of Yahweh is great and very terrible. Who can abide in it? Therefore, also now says Yahweh, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Proverbs 3, verse 5, lean not to your own standing. Turn to me. See, that's why he just didn't come out like, bam, that's it, blow the trumpet seven times. Blah, 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 blah. No, he said, blew the trumpet, set this angel in this book. Now he's coming up to what? Chapter 10, set this angel, let you know like, hey, Revelation 10, this angel got that book open that he told Daniel to close when he was in captivity. When Daniel still was in captivity. So Daniel prayed for that. I think you go to Daniel chapter 10. That just before, Daniel just was talking about, because he was just getting his mind and accounting right. Like, man, how long have we been in bondage? I've been there for a while, so I'm about 21 years old. And that's when Daniel wanted to know some more. So all these things, these significant things, we put together, 12, 16. All right, let me see something. Verse 13, and rend your heart and not your garment, and turn it to Yahweh, for his grace is merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, repentance of evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering or drink offering to Yahweh. Blow the trumpets in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people of the congregation. See, remember we said it in number 10, we hear about you blow a trumpet, you blow a long for this gathering, this kind of gathering. That's why we see he has the trumpets, the seven trumpets, the things that he's doing in Revelation. Ain't nothing new. He ain't giving us nothing new to catch us with God. He just want to know, have we been abiding and doing what he said through his prophet, listening to him and holding fast. Verse 16, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, similar to elders, gather the children, those that suck the breath, let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest minister of Yahweh weep before the porch and the altar. Let them spare the people. And give not the heritage to the reproach, the heritage that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they sing among the people? Where is their God? See, that's what we're going through now. People say, he said he was coming back. I was down there and he ain't coming back yet. I had a big brother say that. I prayed for him every day. He's 68. He almost burnt his hand up real bad last 2 weeks ago. Thank God he ain't died, but I hope he repaired. Because there might have been a little little show for you. You think that hand got third-degree burnt. Whole hand pot's going to get burnt, his grandma said. Because he said that, joking my other brother, like, he's waiting for JC to come back. When they say, Jesus, we know. They say he'd come back over 1,000 years. See, my brother don't understand, though. You read in the scripture, Moses was only gone for 40 days. Remember? Remember, he went 40 days three times. He went up to that mountain, 40 days and what? They said, where he at? He gone. They forgot this man delivered them across, out of Egypt, through some water, parted some water with a staff because being obedient to Yahweh. That was a man of God that had Yahweh with him, showing acts just like Yahshua walked upon the earth. And they had a nurse say, show us a sign. God got to be with you, like Nicodemus said. Remember when he came up to him? He said, we know can't no man do that unless God. God had to be with Moses. And what they do, because he took too long, because he was up there for 40 days, I don't know what day it was, and they told Aaron, come on, man, make us a cow, God, we're going to have a party. You're going to have a party without Moshe, all that man did for you. So that's what we had to realize. That the thing that these prophets talked about, these things shall come to pass also. What else? Oh, something else. Revelation 4:3. Revelation 4:3 mentions something too. What it says? Revelation 4:3 talked about the throne in heaven, right? Revelation 4:3 says, and one who sat there had the appearance of jasper, carnelian, this version says, and a rainbow resembling an emerald encircled on a throne. So as we see right there, that we keep seeing this rainbow coming up. What's encircling this person there, that appearance, right? That appearance. Remember Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28? Remember I said Daniel is important to help you Revelation and give you more clarity? And Ezekiel also. And then each one, like I read, Amos, Joel, you know. Don't skip over them because they only got three books or six books that they consider with people to the scholars a minor prophet. There's nothing minor from a prophet of the Most High. Because why you need that? That could be a critical substance piece that you need. That's why Yahweh does this like this. Like he said in Isaiah, what was it, Isaiah 26, 28, always messed up. Line upon line, precept, precept. That's why a lot of people don't understand the words of Yah, because they just open up one book, read one book, that's it. And they're doing like what, Second Peter chapter 3, 15, 17. People don't understand Brother Paul's right. We ain't under the law no more, because Paul said, what law? You know how many laws it was? We're not under the law of sin or death. Oh, death, where is your sting? As Brother Uriel brought out eloquently last seventh day of 11 prayers. Where's your sting? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse around about 40-something through 55. Yeah. We're not under the law of sin and death if we do these things, these commandments and statutes of Yahweh says. Is that why? That's our redemption. That's our deliverance. Romans 6:23 said the wages of sin is death. That's your pay. Wages. But the gift of God, that's your pay, is eternal life through HaMashiach Yahushua. That's your wage. Your final payday. That's why Peter said, just hold on. You finally gonna get paid. I done had some jobs where I'm like, man, I'm here. Why I can't? Don't nobody make six figures need to know the truth and know about you, Father? I should be, can I minister to them? Like, not now, sir. Right now, this is where you go. I got your daily bread on. Yes, you do. But what I'm saying with that, reading that, we see these things throughout the prophets. Give me that Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28 says, he mentions that same kind of, that was the last verse of Ezekiel chapter 1. He said, as the appearance of a boat. But then if you start in verse 26, he said, and above the firmament that was over their heads was a likeness of a throne. As the appearance of a sapphire stone upon the likeness of a throne, the likeness of the appearance of a man above it. And I saw the color of amber as the appearance of far round about within it, with the appearance of his loins, even upward, and from his appearance of his loins, even downward. I saw it was the appearance of a fire, a brightness around about. Verse 28, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yahweh. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face and heard a voice from one speak. So as we see these things right here in Revelation, that's why Daniel, Ezekiel, yeah, because see Ezekiel, he was by a river when he received a vision. He was by the river of Chebar. When the heavens was open, he saw a vision. Right? Excuse me. Daniel was by the river, the Tigris River, when he seen a vision. But since these rivers keep coming up, let me see something. I want to see something. Look out. Something came to my mind. On the brothers, Torah, Revelation. Let me see something. Let me Revelation 6. Come on, brother. Ahabel taught that. Ahabel taught Revelation chapter 6. Was it Ahabel? Let me see that. 4. Yeah, Ahabel taught 6. And Ahabel had mentioned, remember he mentioned in Revelation 6 about the seals and the beasts. And like Daniel went back through in 7, 8, and 9. Went back to Daniel. So Ahabel was breaking down how the seals and the description of those beasts and what they point to and the powers. So when we see these things in the book of Revelation, we had nothing to be worried. Oh, what I forgot to teach when I taught on Shabbat, because I had Revelation chapter 10 and 11. Chapter 10, we go back, go to chapter 10 real quick. Revelation 10, he said what? After that, I stopped at that, what, verse 7, when I'm talking about the mystery, because God's hold up, there'll be no more delays. The secret thing, like I said, Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians said, it's going to come in a thief of the night to those who don't know this Torah and don't abide by the Torah. And they want to do what? The figments of mankind imagination. Why? The same mankind imagination that Genesis 4 got the world what? Destroyed by a flood, because it says man's imagination grew evil and wicked and wicked. It's no different than when we fast forward to what? After the flood, Yahweh seemed like he would have had to flood it again. Because what? The flood, after they came out of the flood, what, chapter 7, chapter 8 back, just from chapter 8 to chapter 10, he had to start. The languages got confounded because why? Nimrod rose up. What they would say now, Antichrist, but we'll say anti-Mashiach. So the answer, what they talk about, some of these scholars about the Antichrist is coming, it's Obama. It's Ronald Reagan. It's George Bush Jr. It's Donald Trump. Anything that's against the word of the Most High, that's an anti-Mashiach for us in Hebrew, but I'm going to teach the purpose. That's an Antichrist. Yes. Because you speak in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. You think to speak words against the Most High and change the laws, times, and commandments. That's anti-Mashiach, anti-Christ. And what did I say? Oh, Revelation chapter 10. It said, verse 9, John said, because that's that angel that had that book that Daniel had in Daniel chapter 12 was closed. So Daniel closed up. It's for the end time. Don't worry, my boy. Your part is over right here. Pass the baton. Bam! So now Revelation chapter 10, John got it. Bam! John said, so I went to the angel and I asked him, give me that little scroll. No, but the voice from heaven in verse 8 said, spoke to me once more and said, go take that lies open in his hand. And the angel who was standing on the sea, take that book. He said, then I went to the angel and I asked him to give me that little scroll. And he said to me, take it, eat it. It would turn your stomach sour, but then your mouth would be sweet as honey. And I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many people, nations, and languages, and kings. So he said, what they got to do? This John, ain't it, family? Ain't it funny, bro? It's the timely. I ran out of time. I apologize. I really thought we had the place till 7 or 8 o'clock. I was joking, but the joke was on your brother. Anyway, I didn't get to bring this up. Isn't it timely that John is getting this revelation, right? Anybody remember this John was at what? During this season, John was at what? The Passover. Wasn't he at the Passover? And at the Passover, John watched the Messiah, what? John watched the Messiah teach them the ordinances of, teach them the ordinance of the Passover. And where I'm going at with that is this. What's it, Matthew 20:24, I think it is. One of them accounts I want. Matthew 25, and it came to pass when it was like, I think it's 27. I'm trying to get to where they was at the supper, the Passover meal. So, great. Okay, I think it's in Matthew 25. Maybe Matthew ain't talking about the Passover meal. Let me see something. And what I'm trying to get at this, John receiving this revelation, and he was told in Revelation chapter 10, verse about 10. From, he said, get that book. He said, take that book. Get that book and eat it. So why are you saying, Brother Shaman, what this got to do with? I'm going to go to John real quick. Let's see something. I need John. Chapter, I'm going to show you something that Yahweh showed me. I think it's John chapter 17. No. John Tess. Okay, John 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John have a brain. What you gonna do? What signs messing me up? I know this isn't. I know they talked about the supper. For some reason, I ain't fine. The Passover with the disciples, I'm going to go in Luke chapter 22, verse 7. It said, chapter 22, verse 14. It says, now when the hour came, Yahshua took his place at the table. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover. Then you go on down. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Verse 16, he said, I tell you, I will never eat it again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom. Verse 17, he took a cup, he gave thanks, and said, take this and share it among yourself, because I tell you, from now I will never drink. Verse 19, then he took a loaf of bread and gave thanks and broke it, that's it, in pieces, and he handed it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given you. Keep on doing this in remembrance of me. And then verse 20, says he did the same with the cup after supper, said, this cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, which is being poured out for you. So you said, well, what's the importance of that, Brother Chavel? Because John, that angel told John, the voice from heaven told John to go to that angel and say, give me that book. Take that book and eat it. Bam, right there, that should make John's mind trigger. Like, oh, last time I was told to eat something by a voice, that was Yahshua at that Passover, right? So that's why it behooves us to take this word of Yahweh and eat it, right? Yeah, it's going to be sweet, but it's bitter because why we have to tell the people the truth. No, you're wrong. No, you can't do that. Look what happened to John the Baptist. He told the king, man, you ain't supposed to be sleeping with your brother's wife and he's still alive. That's adultery. That man got put in the prison, got his head cut off. So it was sweet to his mouth, because John knew it was adultery. He was the son of a priest. Zachariah's son, Zachariah's boy. But it was bitter because the result, what he had to do. But that's why Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 to 15, we cannot be a man pleaser, because we're a man pleaser. We're no good for the Most High. If I'm a man pleaser, and 2 Timothy 4:2 says, I got to teach this word in season and out of season when it's not good. But getting back to that eat, okay? So this John should say, in that Revelation chapter 10, verse 9-11, when he said eat, John should say eat, right? And then Yahshua said, take the cup. Luke chapter 22, verse 19-20, okay? So where I'm going with that, John, remember this Passover meal, the importance of the significance of Passover. Remember this in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, does anybody remember the count of John chapter 6? Yahshua, he fed over 5,000 people. Down about verse about 21, 22, 23, something like that. He told them he the bread of life, remember? He told him the bread of life. See, now the Passover get ready to come. Then in verse 20, John chapter 6, verse 27, he said, don't work for the food that perishes, but the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Because the God, the Father, has set his seal on him. There goes some seals some more, right? Okay, what else? What else? Oh, remember John verse 6, 32, you're going down that very good chapter. I mean, all of them chapter. Yahshua said to them, most certainly, I tell you, it wasn't Moses who gave you the bread out of heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread out of heaven, right? Because, you know, before that they said, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness as it's written. He gave them bread out of heaven. They said, it's true. That is true. For the verse 33, John 6:33, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said, therefore him, Yahweh, the master always gives us his bread. Yahshua said, I am the bread of life, verse John 6:35. Who come to me will not be hungry. Whoever will believe will never be thirsty. Okay, and what I want to get to, where's that one he said? And now verse 41, John 6:41, they said, the Jews therefore murmured concerning him because he said, I am the bread which come down out of heaven. Isn't this Yahushua, the son of Joseph, who's the father and mother who we know? How then does he say, I have come down out of heaven? Because why? They supposed to know the law, right? And the scriptures and the Torah. They supposed to say, Isaiah and them did say, these prophets did say someone's coming, right? Okay. All right, let's go on down to verse Verse 48. No, verse 47. Can't forget this one. Most certainly, I tell you, whoever believes in me has eternal life. That's one part of it. See, people are like, you believe in the Lord and the Savior and he's coming by his blood, no? But you still have to be obedient to his laws, commandments, and statutes, thus say him in the Bible. That's why he say, think not in John chapter 5, verse 17, 20, I come to destroy the law and the prophet, I come to magnify. So every dot and tittle, so all has been filled, so heaven and earth disappeared. Heaven and earth is still here, so some things is partial fulfillment. That when he gave his life on that stake in that tree, he said, it is finished. That part of being a sacrifice for the world, take away the sin. That part is finished, but everything else is still, we're going, we still living here. Verse 49, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, that any man who eateth it will not die. That's verse 40. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Yes, the bread which I give for thy life of the world is my flesh. This is what he was explaining to them when I was reading that Luke chapter 22, verse 17 and 19, where he said he took the bread and he broke it and told them, eat this. They heard this before. This John 6, man. This coinciding with Revelation chapter 10. Starting at verse 9 through 11, when John heard a voice, told him, go to that angel and ask him for that open scroll and eat of it. Okay, you ready? Verse 52. The Jews therefore contended with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Verse 53, Yahshua said to them, most certainly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Remember Luke chapter 22, verse 17 and 20 said that? He said, this is my cup, my body. Drink this. This is the blood of the covenant, right? Verse 53. Getting back to this. Most certainly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of man and drink his blood, you don't have life in yourself. Verse 54. He who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, has eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. Isn't the book of Revelation is the last account, written account of what's going to happen? That's why it's important for our believers to stay in this word and eat this word. What else to say? Verse 55, for my flesh is food indeed. My body is drink indeed. That's why he told that angel. That's why John should know when he said it, like, he told us this before. He told us in leading up to the Passover, John 6 that I'm reading from, and he told us what I read from the account of the Passover meal in Luke chapter 22, verse 17 and 20. He did take the bread, that matzah bread, that unleavened bread, represents no sin. He did take that cup, that blood, that represents. Let's go on to break this down more. And remember, they disputed. The Jews, they contended to one another in verse 52. And John 6 said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Remember? Verse 54, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, eternal life, I will raise him up the last day. Verse 56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. Verse 57, the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is my bread, which came down out of heaven, not as our fathers ate the manna and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. He's telling them right now, this bread, Moses, yeah, that was physical bread, and that sustained you through the wilderness for 40 days till you got to what? The promised land. Remember I said earlier before I came in interludes this way? Revelation is the promised land. After this is over, we go to the promised land. Remember, they came out of Exodus and they went in the wilderness for 40 years. Then for 40 years, they passed over into the promised land. The land of milk and honey, which is given an analogy. That's what he can only give it to us on a physical thing. Like he told Nicodemus, I can't give you spiritual thing. You got to understand the physical thing. So he's trying to let us see. He gave us all these things in Revelation. Look like gold, streets of gold, and this and that. Because we can equate with gold because we're physical. So we can say, man, that's going. All we can say, man, that's going to be nice. That's going to be nice. So that's why we got to eat it. Okay, where we at? Who eats this bread live forever? We're going to jump down to verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, that is, therefore many, John 6, 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, this is hard saying, who can listen to it? He just explained it in verse 58. I'm the bread which came down out of heaven from the Father. I'm that Passover lamb that you've been doing for these years leading up. Not as the bread your fathers ate and died. Because, see, you eat that bread, they eventually died. Generations died, but this, you eat from him, you have eternal life. Verse 61, but Yahshua, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? Then, what if you would see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit of who gives life, that the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who don't believe. Remember, don't we can hear the same thing. Remember in the wilderness? Yeah, a lot of people put their blood on the man on the doorpost when we read in Exodus chapter 12, 13. And they came out on the 15th day, and they taught, you know, and they seen the signs and the miracles and the wonders. But in the wilderness, they kept, what, doubt kept coming up, disbelief. What happened? Same way with 10 plagues. I finished that lesson. They had 10 doubts that Israel had Egypt. No one went through 10 plagues. Like the world got to go through 10 plagues. Like Yahweh showing in Revelation, the seven woes and seven trumpets. Egypt went through some things too, remember? What, the serpent bit them. They had to look up at Nasheef, I apologize, the Hebrew word for messing up. They had to look upon that serpent. And that way the serpent, that serpent that was mounted up on that pole, he had to look upon him to get healed. And all it was, and then if you learn about that history, that had to come down because they kept looking upon that serpent instead of the thing that was the obedience to the Most High, just like Samson. Samson was only strong because he was obedient, said, do not put a razor or drink wine. That was where his strength really came from, the obedience. So them looking at that pole, no, you lost the fact that it was the man of God received a message from God and said, okay, give him something physical. Put them serpents that's biting them, put a serpent up on that pole. So they can look up upon that pole. But what we see right now in modern times, how everything been hijacked. What time? Every pole started at 12:30. Everything been hijacked. When you look on an ambulance, most ambulance, they got a cross. You know that cross is really the tar, okay? But I ain't talking about that. Most ambulances back in the day when I was little growing up, inside that little cross was a serpent swiddling around, you know, coiled around that. They got that from that's the book of Numbers. They got that from what Yahweh told Moses, put that serpent up so they can be healed. The healing was having faith in the man of God, like Yahshua be saying, believe the works that I do. Don't get caught up in Moses. Believe Moses couldn't do that. You remember he came just like you. He was an ordinary man, just like it said in James about Elijah when he made but he called on prayer. Moses was a regular man. He was born a Hebrew in Hebrew bondage, just like they was. They was an Egyptian bondage. But believe the works that this man doing. That ambulance and that cross on there, that tar, that serpent coiled around there, that's coming from Numbers. But they went through plagues too. They were not plagues, curses. That we're going to say they were curses. Egyptians got plagues. Children of Yahweh went through curses. For still being doubting through those 40 years or whatever, like getting back to what I'm saying. A lot of people left. They said it was 600 in a mixed multitude. A lot of people left Egypt, but guess what? Only two went into that promised land, wasn't it? Am I saying that right? Hosea? Yariel brought that out Wednesday, I believe. Yes, he did. He did an eloquent job. He brought out Joshua chapter 6. We started 5 and 6. Only two people went out of that generation. What was it? Hosea, his name got turned to what? Because he was one of the spies in number 13. His name got changed to what? Yahushua, salvation of Yah. You already said her, not her. Caleb. Caleb. Because they had faith, different insight. So, yeah, everybody accepted the Passover that night. A lot of Egyptians left. That's what mixed multitude. A lot, whoever, just like America, the melting pot, I'm sure a lot of people that were living in Egypt at that time, because Egypt had it going on. That's part of mixed multitude. It wasn't just Egyptians. They probably had been Moabites, this person, this, you know, whatever, whatever consistent nation was, but only two went on. And the saying that, yeah, they started off with the belief and put their blood. But as time went on, Satan did what like he do? He slow walking. That's why Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, say, what is it, Isaiah 40, verse 17? It used to be one of my favorite verses, 19. Kid, he'd have mount up, have wings. See, it's like a marathon. You can't start off sprinting. Like they did that little fable. They stole that from the scriptures, too, that little fable, the hare and the tortoise, whatever. And the head took off running, chilling, I'm taking sleep, but he got sloppy. Just like the Proverbs said, slothful man brings destruction to him. And as weeds grow across his field, because he didn't take care, but the turtle just kept on, the tortoise just kept on slow walk. That's how we are as believers. Some things we're going to sprint out on. There's something, we got the story, we're going to sprint out on. There's something, we got slow walking. Where's the God? Where's the God? That's what we got to keep in mind with these things. So, yeah, everybody didn't go because they fell off. Okay, getting back to that John 6, where we at? Verse 65, because I started 64, we said, because he knew some of them didn't believe. Verse 65, see, you can say and tell me anything. Yahweh know your heart is beating chest. He know that, yeah, you said that to Brother Chavelle or to that brother or that sister. But that ain't what you mean. It ain't in your heart. Verse 65, for this cause I said to you, no one can come to the Father unless given by me. At verse 66, many of the disciples went back. That's it right there. That's why I stopped and went to the Egypt. Same thing with this book of Revelation showing us many of people. That's why he just didn't come on with destruction. You know, Yahweh always give a warning. Go send the prophets out. Tell them whether they hear you, Samson, don't worry, whether they forbear or not. They're not turning down you, Samuel. They're not listening to me. I'm the one told you, not you. Don't get discouraged, Elijah. Don't worry about it. I got 7,000 houses about that. So don't get discouraged. Yariel, Mariel, Daniel, Ahabel, Canukal, Shafutal. I'm missing my brother. Yakal. I'm missing one. That's a shame, so many of us. That's good. I hope be a whole lot of, I forget. Zakin Ward, Zakin Gary, Brother Mataya, Brother Ivy. Don't get discouraged. Brother Mike, yeah, brother down Delaware, people probably think you crazy. That Wendell was back. He started that crazy nonsense with Mike, and then he back. He should have stayed down in Texas. Yeah, don't get discouraged, sisters. My sisters. My young sisters in high school and my young sisters in college, young adults, don't get discouraged. Hold on. The reward gonna be there. He gonna wipe away the tears. We gonna get to that in Revelation soon, this week or next week. God, what time is it? 12:49. Okay, hold up. Let's finish this up. Verse 66. And this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. See, he had more than just that 12 that he started out with that Yahweh gave him and called. Remember, he told us that in Luke 11 or something, Luke 12. He had more than 70 people, but they left after this saying right here. Eat my body, take this bread. Verse 67, Yahshua therefore to the 12, his remaining 12, what he say? You don't also want to go away, do you? Verse 68, my man, that's my cousin. Because I'm kind of got some Peter in me. Sometimes I jump, say things. Shut up, boy, you ain't supposed to say that. That was the wrong time. John 6:68, you supposed to say it. So somebody got to tell him, but not right now. We're not then, never then, right? Might not be another time. John 6:68. Yahshua asked him in 67, do you want to go away also? 68, Simon Peter answered him, say, Yahweh, to whom would I go? You had the words of eternal life. Eat that book in Revelation chapter 10, verse 9 to 11. John, mine's taken. That's for us believers. Eat that book. Keep eating. I know it's sweet, but I know it's a little bit on the stuff. Eat that book. Everybody making fun of me. Eat that book. Verse 69. We have come to believe and know that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Verse 7, Yahshua answered them, did not choose you. 12, one of you is a devil. Now he spoke, thanks, that's my cue to shut this up. One more verse. Now he spoke with Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for it was he who would betray him and being one of the 12. And getting back, one more verse to help that Luke 22, verse 17 to 19. When he said, eat, we just did the eat part in Matthew chapter 6, but Leviticus 17:11 said the life of the body is in the blood. For people out there believing, I'm covered by the blood and all that. Covered by the blood means if you don't have no blood in your body, you don't live. You got me? So therefore, that's what he said, take this cup, drink of this. Take this bread, eat this. Eat this way of living in this life that he gave. That's how you get eternal life. You got to abide by the laws, commandments, and the statutes. So I hope that helped, family, to give you some clarity. If you ever reading Revelation, getting caught up and want to know what the days is, 1260 days, 42 months, don't get caught up in all that. Learn the signs that he's given us, the witnesses that he's given us, and the things that he gave through all his prophets through his tour. On that note, I'm going to say the closing prayer. If I didn't erase it. No, I didn't erase it. Oh, come on. Okay, the closing prayer. Well, before I do the closing prayer, Father God, thank you for opening my spiritual eyes and help us, Father God, give us clarity in anything you have. Lean not to our own standards, but acknowledge you and wait on you, Father God, for the good things. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, rock of all eternities, righteousness and all. Generations, trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills all of whose words are righteous and true. Trustworthy are you, Yahshua, our power, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate. King, blessed are you, Yahshua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all your words. Hallelujah. Family, enjoy the Shabbat blessings that Yahweh given. And for those who don't know, pray for them, because they got blessed at sunset yesterday, the sunset today, whether they wanted to accept it or not. That's the love that the Father has for mankind. That's what Revelation is telling us, to hold on, go back to the old ways, Jeremiah 1:10. Tear up, root down, get on the old path. Keep it, stay encouraged, fam. Shabbat shalom. Hallelujah. Well, you did it without the music.
You can show you little things that last